Like what? You could shovel shit on a chicken farm. You could whore yourself out in Tijuana with a donkey. Either thing would be better than working for the Duncans. The guy said nothing, just drove. Reacher asked, how much do the Duncans pay you? More than I could get back in Kentucky. In exchange for what, precisely? Just being around, mostly. Reacher asked, who are those Italian guys in the overcoats? I don't know. What do they want? I don't know. Where are they now? I don't know. They were in the Blue Impala, already 10 miles north of the Marriott, Roberto Cassano at the wheel, Angelo Mancini sitting right beside him. Cassano was working hard to stay behind Safir's boys in their red Ford, and both drivers were working hard to keep Mahmani's guys in sight. The big black Cadillac was really hustling. It was doing more than 80 miles an hour. It was way far outside of its comfort zone. It was bouncing and wallowing and floating. It was quite a sight. Angelo Mancini was staring ahead at it. He was obsessed with it. He asked, is it a rental? Cassano was much quieter, occupied by driving, certainly, concentrating on the crazy high-speed dash up the road, definitely, but thinking, too. Thinking hard. I don't think it's a rental. So what is it? I mean, what? Those guys have their own cars standing by in every state, just in case? How's that possible? I don't know, Cassano said. I thought at first maybe it's a limo, you know, like a car service. But it isn't. I saw a little squirt driving it himself, not a car service driver. Just a glimpse, but it was him. The one who mouthed off at you. Cassano said, I didn't like him. Me either. And even less now. They're way bigger than we are. Way bigger than we thought. I mean, they have their own cars on standby in every state. They fly in on the casino plane and there's a car there for them? Wherever? What's that about? I don't know, Cassano said again. Is it a funeral car? Do the Iranians run funeral parlors now? That could work, right? Mahmani could call the nearest parlor and say, send us one of your cars. I don't think the Iranians took over the funeral business. So what else? I mean, how many states are there? 50, right? That's at least 50 cars standing by. Not even Mahmani can be active in all 50 states. Maybe not Alaska and Hawaii, but he's got cars in Nebraska, apparently. How far up the list is Nebraska likely to be? I don't know, Cassano said again. Okay, Mancini said, you're right. It has to be a rental. I told you it's not a rental, Cassano said. It can't be. It's not a current model. Times are tough. Maybe they rent older cars now. It's not even last year's model, or the year before. That's practically an antique. That's an old guy car. That's your neighbor's granddad's Cadillac. Maybe they have rent-a-wreck here. Why would Mahmani need that? So what is it? It doesn't really matter what it is. You're not looking at the big picture. You're missing the point. Which is what? That car was already at the hotel. We parked right next to it, remember? Late afternoon, when we got back, those guys were there before us. And you know what that means? It means they got there before Rossi even asked Mahmani to send them. Something really weird is going on here. The metallic gold GMC Yukon turned left off the north-south two-lane and headed west toward Wyoming on another two-lane that was just as straight and featureless as the first. Reacher pictured planners and engineers a century before, hard at work, leaning over parchment maps and charts with long rulers and sharp pencils, drawing roads, dispatching crews, opening up the interior. He asked, "How far now, John?" The kid said, "We're real close," which has always turned out to be a relative statement. Real close in some places meant 50 yards or 100. In Nebraska, it meant 10 miles and 15 minutes. Then Reacher saw a group of dim lights off to the right, seemingly in the middle of nowhere. The truck slowed and turned, another precise 90-degree angle, and headed north on a blacktop strip engineered in a different way from the standard county product, a private approach road leading toward what looked like a half-built or half-demolished industrial facility of some kind. There was a concrete rectangle the size of a football field, possibly an old parking lot, but more likely the floor slab of a factory that had either never been completed or had been later dismantled. It was enclosed on all four sides by a head-high hurricane fence that was topped by a mean and token allocation of razor wire. Here and there, the fence posts carried lights, like domestic backyard fixtures, containing what must have been regular 60 or 100-watt bulbs. The whole enormous space was empty, apart from two gray panel vans in a marked-off bay big enough to handle three. The approach road was scalloped out at one point to allow access in and out of the concrete rectangle through a pair of gates. Then it ran onward toward a long, low, one-story building built of brick in an unmistakable style. Classic 1940s industrial architecture. The building was an office block, built to serve the factory it once stood next to. The factory would have been a defense plant, almost certainly. Give a government a choice of where to build in wartime, and it will seek the safe center of a landmass, away from coastal shelling and marauding airplanes and potential invasion sites. Nebraska and other heartland states have been full of such places. The ones lucky enough to be engaged on fantasy Cold War systems were probably still in business. The ones built to produce basic war-fighting items like boots and bullets and bandages had perished before the ink was dry on the armistice papers. The kid called John said, "This is it. We live in the office building." The building had a flat roof with a brick parapet and a long line of identical windows, small panes framed with white-painted steel. In the center was an unimpressive double door with a lobby behind it and dim bulkhead lights either side of it. In front of the doors was a short concrete path that led from an empty rectangle made of cracked and weedy paving stones, the size of two tennis courts laid end to end. Managerial parking, presumably, back in the day. There were no lights on inside the building. It just stood there, dead to the world. Reacher asked, "Where are the bedrooms?"